Good evening.
Good evening.
I welcome you with all my heart. It's good to be with you once again. I love you all. All is well. There are no mistakes. Everything is in its right place, unfolding as it should. There are some schools of Advaita that teach that when a person becomes enlightened, and I use that word loosely, for nobody really becomes enlightened, it is your natural state. But they say when a person becomes enlightened, so to speak, that particular person brings peace and joy and happiness to the world. That person brings healing to the world. That person makes the world a better world in which to live. That person alleviates man's inhumanity to man. This is all a lie. No such thing happens. How can it? Think for a moment. When a person awakens, there's no ego left, there's no mind left. It is the mind and the ego that create the world and its manifestations. But if there's no mind or ego left in the Yani, what business does he have with this world? This world is a non-entity to a Yani. It doesn't exist. So if a sage goes around trying to heal people, heal the world, there's something wrong there. Where a Yani does that makes us a better world in which to live. A sage has transcended the world. There's no longer an ego or a mind left to do anything with. This is why Advaita is known as a selfish teaching to some people. Some people believe this is a very selfish teaching. Where a sage usually has nothing to do with the world whatsoever. Because the sage knows the world does not exist. To the sage, this world does not exist at all. The universe does not exist. To a sage, it's like a moving picture. There are images on the screen. Yet you never get involved with the images. We realize they're only images, they're not real. If you try to jump on the screen to beat up the bad guy, you're only punching the screen. That's how a sage sees this world. Now perhaps you can understand why people like Ramana Maharshi, Ramakrishna and others had nothing to do with their body or healing their body. For the body is part of the world. It's part of Maya. to not get both worlds mixed up. The spiritual world is completely different than the material relative world. To the enlightened one, there is no relative world at all. The relative world does not exist. It never has existed. There's no relative world whatsoever. People see a world which is really a movie. It's a play on consciousness. The universe, the world, is a play on consciousness. But people take it to be real, so they suffer accordingly. The Yanni realizes the world does not exist whatsoever. It never existed and never will exist. Therefore, the sage has absolutely nothing to do with this world. Ponder this, try to understand this, it's very important. There's nobody to heal. There's nobody to save. There's nothing to do. The whole universe is Maya, an illusion. And there's no substance, no validity. It is false. This is the reason I say that I've been mixed up with the world. A real sadguru, a real sage, never gets mixed up with the world. Never takes the world seriously. For again, he sees the world as you would the world in the mirage. He realizes it's an appearance, but has no substance. So again, you'll never find a sage going around the world healing people, saving the world, trying to make this world a better place in which to live. Due to the fact there's no world. It's all Maya. An illustration of this Maya is told by a little story that I told once in a while. One day Sakyamuni Buddha and Shiva disciple Narada were walking down a dirt road in the forest in the silence. They were both silent. Then Narada asked Buddha, "Master, explain to me what Maya is. What is Maya? What is this Maya of yours that you always talk about? You always talk about Maya, I don't understand what you're talking about. Can you explain this for me? What is this Maya?" And Buddha didn't say anything. They kept on walking. An hour later, Narada asked the Buddha again, "Please, Master, explain this Maya for me. I do not understand this Maya. Please explain it for me." The Buddha looked at him compassionately and said, "Would you please go to the first house you see and get me a glass of water? I'm thirsty." Narada obeyed. He ran a half a mile ahead. He saw a house knocking on the door. And the old lady answered, Narada told her that my master Buddha would like a glass of water. Can you oblige, please? And she said, certainly, my son, come in. He came into the house. He saw the most beautiful girl he'd ever seen in his life. He couldn't keep his eyes off her. The old lady saw him looking like that, full of lust. And she said, how would you like to marry my daughter? So Narada was spellbound by her and he said, certainly. They had a big wedding at a Beverly Hilton hotel. Thousands of guests were invited. Just before they were about to be married, the girl asked Narada, by the way, Narada, how often do you have sex? And Narada said, infrequently. The girl says, that one word or two.
Where's that again?
You're better off than him.
You
better have it in here.
Not for you.
Anyway, they got married, and their relatives gave them 40 acres of land. Now they got up 5 o'clock every morning and grow rice. He was a rice farmer. They worked very hard. Pretty soon the girl became pregnant. Now that he worked harder, he bought a cow to have milk for the baby. He became more successful. Bought stocks and bonds. Became president of the Chamber of Commerce. He had 2 more children. Was an executive, owned property houses, had money in the bank. They built a bigger house. With a big family. One day a hurricane came along. Powerful hurricane, winds 140 miles an hour. Now this house began to flood. And he took the family up to the roof. And the flood was raising higher and higher. The winds were blowing harder and harder. On the roof were the grandmother, the 3 sons, Narada and his wife, holding onto a television antenna with their life while the winds were blowing. The wind was blowing so hard that the old lady couldn't hold on anymore. She let go and she drowned. And Narada said to the rest of the family, hold on, hold on. And he told his wife, she was old anyway. She only had a few more years to go, so it's okay, we lost her. But then the wind became stronger. And the TV antenna snapped. And his 3 sons were drowned in the hurricane and swept away. The wife was screaming and hollering. Narada was troubled. But he said to his wife, we're both young, we're going to have more children. But then she said, Narada, I can't hold on any longer. And she let go and she drowned. and was completely destroyed. He was about to let go of the antenna also, when he found himself on the road again with Buddha, walking on the dirt road. And the Buddha said, "Well, did you get my cup of water?" And Narada said, "Now I know what your Maya is." It's all Maya. All this stuff about properties, marriage, children, stocks and bonds, Beverly Hills Hotel. It's all Maya. It's all an illusion. It's not the truth. It's not reality. There's only one reality, and you are that. You are reality. There's nothing else but you. Yet you think you're not. You think you're something like a human being. And has to go through experiences and suffer. And you're hurtable. When will you wake up and realize the truth about yourself? That there's only Brahman. Not duality, not Brahman and the world, or Brahman and man, only Brahman. Nothing comes out of Brahman. There's no world that comes out of Brahman. The world is an hallucination. Your hallucination. You've been taking too much LSD. You're seeing a world with people and things. And some of you may say, "Robert, you see the world also." Yes, I see you. Peekaboo, I see you. But I see you as a movie. I see you as images. There's no question about it at all. That you don't exist. No question, you don't exist. As you appear. But I see the appearance. I know it's like the movie screen with the images, but you think it's real. That's the only difference between me and you. I'm 1,000% certain. And this is all a movie, picture show. It doesn't even exist. My body is the same thing. The body that appears to me is part of the picture show. So now she's going to see you as a picture show also. If I didn't have this body, I wouldn't be able to see you at all. I wouldn't be here at all. I'd be everywhere. Since I have this body, I'm able to see you. You have to stop getting caught up in Maya. I have lunch with many of you. And you get so involved in your problems. You're so involved in circumstances. You think you're the only one who has this problem in this whole world. Yeah, who has a problem? Only the mind, only the ego, not you. This is why the highest teaching is to get rid of the mind, the ego, completely, totally, absolutely. To work on that. Do not work on resolving your problems. Or if you're of that consciousness where you have problems, when you resolve one problem, another one will pop up. And then you know. It's been happening in your life. You try for years to resolve your problems. You work at your problems, you go to psychiatrists, psychologists, witch doctors, trying to resolve your problems. And then when you think you've been helped and the problem is resolved, something else pops up to the same degree as your other problem. It's a different situation completely. And you always have that happening to you. If you look back in retrospect, you'll see I'm telling you the truth. It's one problem after another. The secret is to leave the problems alone and get rid of your mind. When you no longer have a mind, how can you have a problem? It is the mind that has a problem, not you. You are bright and shining. You are absolute reality, such as Ananda. Nirvana is what you are. But you don't believe me. Because even now as I'm talking to you, some of you people are thinking of some problems. You're thinking of something being wrong someplace. Something that you have to deal with, something that you have to overcome. And I keep insisting that there's nothing to overcome, there's nothing to deal with. All is well. But you won't believe me. We keep on feeling problems, we keep on feeling hurtable. We keep on feeling somebody's trying to do something to you. What can anybody possibly do to you? Even if you're playing this game of karma, you have to realize that your karma is burning up as you keep going. You only accrue new karma when you react to a situation, when you react to a condition. And those of you who feel the world on your shoulders have karma to work out. Only because you feel the world on your shoulders. As soon as you let go of the world, it will fall off your shoulders and crack into a million pieces. There will be no more world for you. So drop the burden right now. Drop whatever burden you're carrying right now. Whatever it may be, how serious you think it is, drop it right now. Get rid of it. Think of it for a moment, then drop it. And what's cracked into a million pieces? Your problem. It's gone, finished, kaput. You're free. You're totally free, absolutely free. Do you feel free? Some of you actually refuse to feel free. For some strange reason, you don't want to feel free. You're afraid to be free because you don't know what you're encounter. You've been caught up in problems for so many years. They become like a friend of yours. And you're afraid to release them, to let them go. Because you'll be in space. No longer anything to lean on, to hold on to. Yet I can assure you, if you let go, you will be full of bliss. Bliss is waiting for you to let go. Do not pay attention to what your body does. You will do whatever you have to do. Everything will be done at the right time and the right way. Trust the current that knows the way. Having faith in the efficacy of consciousness will do it for you. Even if you do not understand what I'm talking about, just having faith and the efficacy of God, of Brahman, of pure awareness, will do it for you. And you keep saying to yourself, not this, not this, nothing, nothing, to the world, to conditions, to situations. It keeps changing, slowly but surely. Begin this when you get up in the morning. Immediately when you get up in the morning, when you open your eyes. Deny the whole universe. When your mind starts to think of the problems that you have or the situation that you're involved in, don't carry it through. Deny it. Keep denying it as long as you have to. Accept nothing. Good or bad. It's all Maya. And it all turns into suffering. It's like the presidential inauguration. Everything is so beautiful during the inauguration. Then problems begin. Then there's trouble. This is true of everyone on this earth. As long as we believe in the world as authentic, we're going to suffer. There's no question about this. This planet is a third great planet. Since the beginning of time we've had wars, man's humanity is a man, dastardly conditions going on this planet. Things have not gotten any worse. The only reason we believe things are worse is because of communication, television, fax. We're able to know what's going on any place in this world in a moment. So it's all condensed for us on television. People getting killed all over the place. We therefore believe things are bad, worse than they've ever been before, but this is not true. These things have been going on since the beginning of time. We had Attila the Hun, the Spanish Inquisition, the Crusades. Go on and on. Where millions of people were killed. And no one's ever saved this planet. No one's ever saved this planet. If we read about sages, yanis, all kinds of people in this world, and the planet's still going the way it's supposed to go. This is the point I'm trying to make. Everything is unfolding as it should. This planet is unfolding the way it's supposed to. It's not your business to run this planet. Your business is to try to get the hell off this planet. By awakening. But as long as you're part of the crowd, you have to realize that you're on the third great planet. And to go along with this until you get old and die. And according to your karma, you go to another planet perhaps. It's a little more peaceful. And it might go to the second great planet. When you think this is bad, you may see nothing yet. Or a first great planet, where things are really terrible. Or a fourth great planet, where things are improving. It's like school. Maya is a university to educate the soul, so to speak. There are different grades, different classes. But who needs to go through all this? The ego? The mind? Why do you allow this to be? Stop it now. Why do you hear these things? You are fortunate that in your life you are able to hear these things. So understand that you're not the body, nor the mind, nor the world. Do something about it. Free yourself. Do not accept this any longer. Forget about this world. Don't pay too much attention to your body. Do not think too much of having a good time or a bad time. Right, so loose it and let it go. Let go of all the stuff that's been haunting you for years and years. Become free, happy, by knowing who you are. It's only by knowing who you are that you become totally free and have unalloyed happiness. If you're looking for happiness in this world, you'll be fooled all the time. The world will show you happiness for a while, then it will pull the rug out from under you and start crying and screaming again. Until more happiness comes your way. Same thing happens again and again and again. And Maya is laughing its head off. Because you're taking it all so seriously. You're taking the world so seriously. You're taking this world so seriously. Why? Stop it. Stop it right now. Quit while you're ahead. You are all divine beings. You are all consciousness. Pure awareness is your nature. Why not go for it? Why not do it now? It's not hard. It only means emptying yourself out, becoming totally empty of your thoughts, your fears, your emotions, your reasoning, your dogmas, your preconceived ideas. Empty it all out of you. Get rid of it. It's not important. Save yourself. You can do it and you will. Peace. Shantiam, please feel free to ask questions.
The hallucination originates if our essence is
space. The hallucination never originated at all. It appears to have originated. It has no substance. It didn't come from anywhere. It's like a dream. How did your dream originate? Or a dream at night? The same thing, it has no substance, nothing. It didn't originate, it's a mirage. It appears to originate, but it isn't. Only Brahman is consciousness, pure awareness. But nothing ever originated. It's like when you're hypnotized. When you're hypnotized, you're made to believe that something is a spider on your arm, crawling up your arm. And you believe it. And actually, when you come out of the hypnotic state, there's a red welt in your arm where the spider was. There was never a spider there, but yet you saw the spider yourself. The hypnotist made you see the spider. And no spider ever existed. The same thing. We're seeing the world. We're seeing things in this world. We're seeing planets, universes. We're seeing all these things that have no origin, no substance. They come out of your mind. That doesn't exist. So nothing ever was originated. I only call it an hallucination for want of a better term. That's as if you're hallucinating, seeing all these things that do not exist. Nothing exists. It didn't come from anywhere. When you begin to dream, the dream has no beginning, the dream just begins. The same with creation. Creation just appears to begin. Came out of nowhere. But we didn't come from any place. Because there's no creation. It's all part of the mind stuff. Stop your mind from thinking, and everything else will stop also.
Robert, What did you mean by when you said Maya exists for the so-called for the education of the so-called soul? Why does the soul need to be educated?
It doesn't. But it exists when you believe in the world and you believe that what you see is real, then we say that Maya exists for the education of the soul. Because we have nothing else to say. It's all part of the nonsense that I always talk about. Well, if you believe that you are a body living in this world, going through experiences, then Maya will really educate you. It'll make you suffer, it'll make you be happy. It'll make you suffer, it'll make you be happy again and again and again. After you get tired of this whole thing, you go on to the next plateau. That's how you're being educated. But forget about all that and go right to the top. There's really no top to go to. Don't go anywhere. Just stay the way you are. watch this tape of Ramesh, people seem to ask him questions for hours. Prabhupada group never has many questions to ask. That's good. After all, the answer is always the same. So whatever you ask, it's all a lie, it doesn't exist. There's really only one answer to all the questions. When you get into all the scientific explanations, it's going to pass time. Just accept that you don't exist and forget. Of course. You're a waste of time, I'm a waste of time, we're all a waste of time. Time doesn't even exist.
For a jnani who has realized the identity of his inner being with the infinite Brahman, there is no rebirth, no migration, not even liberation, for he is already liberated. He is firmly established in an experience of the absolute existence, knowledge, bliss, the Satchidananda Atman. The continued existence of the world and of his own body appears to the jnani only as an illusion, the appearance of which he cannot remove, but which cannot further deceive him till the time when, after the decease of the body, he wanders not forth, but remains where he is and what he is and eternally was. The first principle of all beings and things, the original, eternal, pure, free Brahman. While living, and even when the body falls dead, the jnani rests in his own essential nature, his own svarupa, that is all full, all pure, timeless consciousness and bliss. The following assertions made by a jnani constitute his own deepest convictions and experience. I am infinite, imperishable, self-luminous, self-existent. I am beginningless, endless, decayless, birthless, deathless. Never was I born. I am ever free, perfect, independent. I alone am. I pervade the entire universe. I am all permeating and interpenetrating. I am supreme peace and freedom absolute. A jnani lives forever. He has attained life everlasting. Cravings torture him not. Sins stain him not. Birth and death touch him not. He is free from all cravings and longings. He ever rests in his own Satchidananda Svarupa. he sees the one infinite self in all, and all in the infinite self, which is his being. He remains forever as the infinite self of consciousness and delight.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Robert.
Have any announcements?
Yes, sir. I do.